Thursday, May 1st, 2003. My name is Homero Salinas Vela. We're doing, I conduct a couple of interviews here for the University of Texas El Paso Institute of Oral History on the Bracero program. We are here at the local history room of special collections at the Pan American Library in Edinburgh, Texas. The interview will be with Aida Barrera Torres and Tula Barrera Sanchez. They were both, I guess you could say, typists. Y'all said y'all were typists?
Yeah, we were in college. Clerks. And it was in the, they recruited us here at Pan American
in the summertime when we were not in school.
Okay. Let me start with Aida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are just kind of basic questions we're going to ask on the interview. Okay, when and where were you born?
I was born in Mission, in 1934.
And the month and the day?
July 31st, 1934, Mission, Texas.
Mission, Texas.
Mm-hmm. I was born at home, delivered by my dad.
Wow.
Who was the local doctor uh-huh. in Mission.
And Tula, what is your, where were you born?
Well, Aida and I are sisters, so I was also born in Mission. I was born December 1st, 1935, and what else do you want to
know? Okay, no, that's basically okay. Okay, so did you all grow up there? Did you grow up in Mission?
We grew up in Mission, born and reared in Mission. I left Mission in 1958, but before that, we had lived in Mission.
We attended school.
We attended 6 years of our schooling in Laredo, Texas, Holding Institute in Laredo, Texas, but we would go back and forth. On holidays and summers. So we're Laredo and Mission product, I guess you might say.
So you all graduated from high school where?
This is Aida. I graduated from high school at Holding in Laredo, Holding okay. Institute in Laredo. And then we, my mother moved us to school in here in the Valley. And
I graduated in Mission.
In Mission.
Mission, okay. Mission high school.
Okay, so you all worked with the Braceros in a screening station.
Yes.
What was it actually called?
We typed contracts. The preliminary, the very first contact was made there where we worked in Hidalgo.
Oh, so it was actually in Hidalgo.
It was in Hidalgo, right in the city of Hidalgo, and I think it was the very first time that they were interviewed or any information was gathered about this man when they came into the United States.
Okay, and for the record, Hidalgo, Texas is the border town
with
Reynosa, Tamaulipas. So, okay, what year did you all work there?
Between 1954 and 58, a couple of summers or one summer, I don't remember exactly.
It might have been a little earlier because I was still here in school, and maybe even 52, 53.
So you all worked during the summer?
During the summer.
Oh, only during the summer?
Yes.
Okay, so you all worked in school.
They recruited a bunch of students. I mean, we must have been 50 to 100 students that were typing.
So you all were kind of clerks and
right,
inputting data,
clerical work, right,
gathering
right.
information from the Brazil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the processing center was there in Hidalgo.
Yes.
Okay, so that's where y'all actually worked then.
Yes.
Was there at the bridge there, or they had
No, it was like a big, huge warehouse, and I remember big, huge doors being opened because it would be so hot. And so many people inside,
mm-hmm.
and
no air conditioning. There was
warehouses.
They would bring them into these holding rooms, and mm-hmm. from there they would bring them out into the big hall where we were. And according to where they were from, they would all be together.
Mm-hmm. In villages.
Oh, yeah.
And then we would interview those men, and then we'd get another group. But that's the way it was handled.
It was very interesting. I don't know if you want to, you're going to ask us later, but because of the villages being together, we would get a group of men that looked a little bit alike, that spoke similarly. Mm-hmm. Some didn't even know Spanish. They knew a dialect. And others would be blonde, blue-eyed. Others would be morenitos. And it was very interesting the way the waves came in, like from northern Mexico or the interior of Mexico or western or eastern Mexico. And it was really very interesting for us because we were learning a lot about it.
Now, did y'all have any kind of training? How did y'all find out about the job?
I think it was here, word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah. And we just applied. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was a little summer job.
Right.
And they were paying very well in those days. I forget the pay, but I had never had so much money in my life.
More or less, do you remember what y'all got paid by the hour, right? Y'all got paid by the hour?
Yes, I'm sure it was by the hour. Yeah, because we would sign in and sign out.
I just remember we had a government classification, remember? Yes. G-something, and the higher-ups were G-10 or G-5 or something.
Oh, so y'all actually had a civil service?
Yes. Yes, we had an actual contract with the government, federal government.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think like GS... I think it's like a GS2.
Probably.
Whatever, the lowest clerks, that was our classification.
Wow, that's very good to know that they were doing everything that's already legal and by the government standards.
Right.
Okay, so what did you actually, what was your actual job, not description, but what did you all do when they came in?
Interviewers. We would just
what kind of questions would you ask them?
What's your name, your address, your marital status,
age,
how many children,
where they came from,
and their place of birth, and
very basic personal information.
Okay, do you remember what the qualifications were to become a bracero? How did he?
I know that most of them were men, not very young. I would say maybe in their 20s to maybe 40s, something like that. But not very old men or not very young either.
And did they do any kind of a background check on them? Like, how it is not
we
today?
Don't know. We don't know.
We don't know.
Maybe at the local place in Mexico, but. When they were recruited, I don't know.
What were your normal working hours there?
They were flexible because they had several shifts. That place was going on
24 hours.
Yeah,
I think it was 24 hours.
Yes, and we would go in the morning, if I recall.
I think we worked 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. We would go in and we had breaks, and then we had a lunch break and so on. I remember taking a sack lunch sometimes.
And you all worked like 5 days a week?
I think so, but they would schedule us at different times. They gave us a schedule, they had a schedule, and and sometimes we'd come in very early at 8, or sometimes we'd come a little later.
On the average, how many days did a bracero stay there at that center three process? Was it done like in one day, or did it take more than one day?
I think probably somebody else would be able to answer that for you, because we only saw them once, so we don't know. I know they were outdoors or at another building being, I don't know, I may have this wrong, but I think they would spray the man
and
things like that. And, yeah.
Those are things we heard.
We never saw that. Okay. Maybe this other people that I gave you might do that. But they would come in and they would have a little bundle of clothes, some of them under their arm. And they'd have their little hat over here and nothing else. Nothing else. And just the clothes they were wearing. And they would come in. And they would be told, they would be taken or marched in a, you know, exactly to which typewriter, and they would stand in lines. It was very well organized. And then we would just put in the contract in our typewriter with each person and just start in your name, your, you know,
that
village,
that was it, just your age.
And
okay, so y'all didn't do any of the actual contracts?
No. They may have been the say the first page of a contract or something, you know, with the vital statistics or just part of a contract that.
So you know, y'all never saw any of the employers that would come to pick them up or to contract them.
No, I do know. I remember they would come in trucks, but they would be outside, and I would see the driver of the truck by the truck.
It was Jesse and Reynaldo were here, uh-huh. They could probably.
But with us, they never signed anything or anything. We typed the information and we gave it to them to take to another station.
Yeah, but I think they did have to sign because I remember most of them couldn't sign. They would just
with a little X or something.
Uh-huh. I vaguely remember that.
I don't remember that, but yeah. You may be right. Yeah.
What do you remember any particular incident that really stood out in your mind, you might recall something that really was embedded in your mind?
I just remember some of them would come in their little white, like little inditos, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were not like regular pants. They were wearing huaraches and their...
kind of a pajama
type
of...
Yeah, right. Yeah, and their little saquito, you know, something like this,
uh-huh.
And with their little white.
And the straw hats were very, like, from regions, you know, the yeah. Little straw hats that
the
made.
The dress was very, I remember that very much. And I also remember that some of them were tall and handsome, and some of them were beautiful, blue-eyed people, and some of them were good-looking chiquitos, morenitos, but they would come in, like, in little droves.
Mm-hmm.
From the different regions of Mexico, they were...
Now, when they were coming in across the bridge, who would bring them? Was it just walking across, or the Mexican government?
No, they were brought over in trucks, yeah. I know that with me, what would stand out was that many of these young men were already widowed or had a second wife and so on. A lot of their wives had died in childbirth. And some of them would tell us about... the fact that they had no medical facilities near where they lived, and if they were injured in their land, in their farm or whatever, some of them would have to walk days sometimes to get to a medical facility to get the wound treated and things like that, because we would see terrible scars on some people. And sometimes we would get bored typing all of this, and we would ask him questions that were not in the questionnaire. And if they said, we said, "What is your wife's name?" They would say, "Our first wife or the second wife." So that's how come we would know.
Which one?
Or they would say, if we would say, "Are you married?" They say, "Widowed," and or married with a second wife, and so on.
I bet to half of them were not married.
Yes. Well,
and
legally married, you
them.
Mean?
Yeah, legal.
But you know, they considered it married.
But they had a bunch of kids.
Yes.
Casado? No.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a woman,
mm-hmm.
You
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them had a bunch of kids.
Okay, you said a bunch of eran inditos could speak Spanish. How
right.
Did y'all communicate with them?
Well, we were able to they would know nombre and so on, but
uh-huh.
When we would ask them other things, they didn't know. Or a friend would help them
like
out.
One
of them
in
the
bit.
Group
yeah.
would usually know.
I don't
and
too much, but so.
And it was they were all extremely polite, wonderful manners, very bashful, very scared. They would answer everything immediately, and I think they were afraid that if they didn't respond quickly, you know, they would be disciplined or something. They were apprehensive. They were, a lot of them had never been away from their villages, so we could tell then.
Uh-huh.
And we tried to be really nice to them. And
now, did y'all know where they were going to go work?
No.
Y'all didn't know
we
at
had
all?
No idea.
No idea.
I'll tell you what, we would get the typing, it would already have the name of the farm where they were going sometimes, already typed in. But I never paid attention to where they were going. I didn't know where those places were.
And how about themselves? Did they know where they're going to go work, what type of work they're going to be doing?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I just know they probably thought he was farm labor or something, but I don't know.
What was your personal opinion of the program, the Bracero program?
Well, my personal opinion is that it was very good for some of those people because they were able to earn money that they had never earned before, and they had a way of sending money back home to their families. I don't know. I don't think they took jobs away because our young men and so on were not going into the farm labor force. They were going to college and finishing their education, a lot of them. And that was good that they were able to do that. So I don't have very negative feelings about it. I do know that some of them were not treated right where
That's
they were
right.
going at their destination, and that was not good. But I am not very knowledgeable about that.
Okay, but you said you do know that they weren't treated right. How do you know that? Or?
Because later things have been coming out, you know, in documentaries and things like that. Their housing was poor, their food. Sometimes they were not paid. They were given food instead of payment, where they should have been giving them both, and things like that. But at the time, we were not aware of this. It's just now, much later, that documentaries have come out about the Bracero.
And the process center was strictly just to process them in. Y'all wouldn't process them out?
No. It was just the coming in. I don't know if there was a processing for when they returned. We were not available for working at that time.
Jesse will be able to answer those
Jesse
questions.
Jesse, maybe.
Okay. And then you're talking about Jesse Trevino?
Yes.
Okay. What was his role there?
No.
I think he was definitely not a clerk. He was, I think, in administration or very close to it.
Mm-hmm. And he worked on the field as a matter of fact, he would go to other places.
Centers where they were being processed?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think he traveled. Now, Leonardo did work, you say, there. Mm-hmm. So he might also. He worked with the men, you know, bringing
As
them
they
and taking
came in
them. And so
and
he'll be able to
and guiding them
others.
To the different areas.
This Bracero program, do you think it should be revived today? Do you think we need that today?
Well,
market or economy here.
The only reason I would say yes, I think, is because it might eliminate the deaths that occur when people from Mexico are coming in illegally and they take all these risks, crossing rivers and deserts and border patrols and you name it, snakes and so on. I'm not that familiar with the needs of farmers for more workers at this time.
I think with technology, they do everything with machines, and maybe a few are needed for something.
But the only reason that I would favor something similar would be to eliminate the need for coming in illegally.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I think that was one of the, when President Bush first came in, and that was one of the things that we're going to be discussing.
Yes.
And then the 9/11 thing happened. And then
That's been in the back burner now.
So,
I wouldn't do it exactly the same way. I think there are probably more humane ways of doing the processing and the where they're not herded here and there and brought in such huge groups, and it's kind of scary for them. And I think the people in Mexico now are more knowledgeable of what is going on. In those years, We got men that came in that had never been out of their villages, didn't know what life here was like. It was kind of scary to them.
And do you recall who recruited them? The Mexican government who recruited them from their village?
Don't know.
Probably a representative would go to those villages and gather them up.
Who knows? Maybe Jesse could help me with that.
Any other comments that you all might recall? Or
I know that the man felt that it was a good thing for them, because I guess they felt that they were going to be able to help their families back home and so on. But personally, I was just a clerk in the summer, earning good money and doing it in a way that was different and exciting for me, and getting to meet a lot of people from Mexico and different types and so on.
My uncle had a grocery store and a clothing store downtown in Mission. So on Saturdays, they would bring all these braceros into town. And there were droves, I mean, all over the sidewalks. They would come in and buy a hat or
a money order.
Yeah.
They bought a lot of money orders to send back home. Yeah, sewing machines.
They would sit on the edge of the
sidewalks. When they were getting ready to go back, especially when they were getting ready to go back, they'd come and buy sewing machines and things that they would have to carry themselves. So not too much, but clothing and things like that.
And that's just things that you all saw?
Yes,
all living,
not at the Bracero Center, but everyday
living. It was also an economic impact on
the mission.
Oh, yes, definitely.
It kind of worked both ways.
Yes. I imagine there were other little towns where they were also taken, because some of the people that we processed in Hidalgo, they were for out of the valley. Some were going pretty far, as I recall. And
yes,
don't ask
was
me
it only
how
a Texas
far.
Program?
No, it was all over.
Yeah.
We may have even processed some that were going to New Mexico, but I'm not quite sure. They may have had more of an El Paso.
As I recall, my dad would tell me, I live in Fremont, mm-hmm. and the buses would come up from the valley, passing through there,
yes.
and they would stop there mm-hmm. when they were broke down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're going to Arkansas.
Yeah, they were going from the Hidalgo here, and I imagine there were other places, but we processed people that were going pretty far. So the men, I don't know if they knew where they were going to end up, but that was probably a source of their apprehension.
It was strictly all men, right? No women?
No women.
No. Was there like a certain age limit, you don't recall?
I don't recall, but apparently, because we didn't get a lot of old men or a lot of very young men, yeah. But that's just a deduction that I formed. Not I don't know for a fact. And I think that's about the extent of our knowledge.
That's great. Y'all did a very good comments, and I'm sure it's gonna enhance our program with all these comments that y'all made. We thank you all, and if you call anything else later on, just feel free to contact
me.
But we thank you very much.
Thank you.